Welcome to the show. I'm James.
I'm David.
I'm Riley.
And today we're discussing Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, also known as BP2. That's in my household.
Is it?
We'll laugh. We'll argue. No. We'll get a little too into it, maybe, but at the end of the day, they're just movies.
Spoiler alert.
You got to do it in the...
I'm not going to do the Wakanda accent.
Spoiler alert!
Nope.
It's not...
Get this man a shield. Rest in peace.
It's okay.
We're the show that listener Robo Aneurysm loves so much that I've listened to all the episodes so many times and I haven't seen any of the movies. That's slash caps lock.
What?
Not one?
They speak with so much passion, it keeps me entertained, so I keep coming back. What a mistake. Watch the movies, it's way better.
I mean, I did that. I used to do that, but not
you
for movies.
Podcast without watching?
No, I mean, like ones that I hadn't seen in a long time, but seems weird to do for a movie you haven't seen. Yeah. But hey, thanks for the listenings.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you call it.
Thank you. Listenings.
It's not views.
Next week, no movie to watch, Robo Aneurysm. Just mail us your problems. It's the mailbag therapy episode. Some have come in so far.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very unequipped. That won't stop me from making
Sarah's gonna
advices.
Be on next week, right?
I have a psychology degree. So let me add them.
That's good. I've watched a lot of Jordan Peterson.
Jesus Christ.
You've got problems.
Well, the postmodern neo-Marxists.
Okay, stop.
All right, Black Panther 2. David, what are you giving this movie out of 10?
Wakanda Forever works as a solid contemplation on grief and loss, but it's aggressively average as a superhero movie. 7.3 out of 10.
That's very accurate.
I like it, and I think that it succeeds in some of its more like emotional ideas, but then all the superhero stuff kind of sucks.
Mm.
While fighting the suits? Buddy, lame. Mm. We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Here's mine. It's the movie that's rich in vibranium, but IMO could use a few more deposits of good vibes, particularly in the second half. I feel like the first half was pretty strong for me. I was still kind of being like, wait, so sure, he's a protagonist. We're hardly seeing her at all. But the second half of the movie, especially once they reveal more details about the plot and the character motivations, things kind of like fall apart for me, at least like logically. I'm just like, what? But 7 out of 10. I enjoyed, but quite a few problems we'll get into. James?
Black Panther 2 proves once again that white people and men do not a good movie make. Then again, neither do tiny pigeon ankle wings. 6 out of 10.
I was floating between 6 and 7 on this one. I think I was like...
Depends on the part. I agree with you. Like, there's parts where all the kind of dramatic stakes were really feeling compelling and coming together. And I was like, wow. There's some beats they really hit well in this movie. But there's other parts... I agree with both you guys. Yeah. I was like, were the fights good? I'm trying to remember back. Like,
there were definitely some good fights.
I don't know. I feel like the like best fights were still pretty like... Everyone's kind of moving slow and the camera's not panning people. Nothing felt really inventive. Like, none of the action felt inventive. It felt very like, we're going to spend all of our time focusing on the character beats and like, yeah, the stunt people can worry about the action scenes and whatever. We'll put that in and combine it and make it happen.
There was definitely a fight where I found myself wondering, like, am I dumb or is this hard to follow? Like, who's punching who right now?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I have to kind of refocus.
I want to talk about the good fight scenes very soon after.
What? What happens, guys? What am I supposed to...
People paid us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to NYU for sponsoring today's video. Their BQI C3 Pro is the evolution of the urban e-bike. Whether you're commuting across the city on the daily or a weekend warrior exploring the parks outside of Wakanda, the BQI C3 Pro gets you where you're going quickly and safely.
If you can get through the shield...
Anyone can these days. Yeah. You just have to hold your breath. It offers up to 62 miles in range, swappable battery capabilities for extended range, and comes in 3 colors, white, glossy gray, and matte black. Get 20% off the NIU BQI C3 Pro November 17th to December 4th. For the most avid riders, a chance to win an additional 50% off.
Mm.
Link below to learn more. Are you avid enough? Thanks to Athletic Greens for sponsoring today's video. Each scoop of Athletic Greens AG1 has 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens.
The third Cybertronian faction.
To help you start your day healthily. It's got less than 1 gram of sugar and no nasty chemicals or artificial additives, while still tasting great, you guys. Each pack costs you less than $3 a day. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. No need for for different pills and supplements to look out for your health.
I don't want that stuff.
Make it easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D. You know, it's not a vitamin. It's actually a hormone. And five free travel packs with your first purchase.
Why do they call it Hormone D?
Yeah, that was my nickname in college. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/TJM.
Yeah.
Take ownership of your health and pack the ultimate daily nutritional insurance into your mouth.
ND.
Wait. What?
I didn't know you were going to say that, in your mouth at the end.
That's it. Yeah, as we're done. All right. What do we like about this movie?
Oh.
Right after the synopsis.
Hey.
What happens?
The Black Panther, King T'Challa of Wakanda, has fallen ill. His sister Shuri tries to cure him with a synthetic version of the heart-shaped herb that gave him his powers, but she fails and he dies. 1 year later, Shuri's mother Queen Ramonda asks that she continue her research on the herb. The world wants Wakanda's rare vibranium and they need a Black Panther to protect them, but Shuri refuses. When a deep-sea mining ship detects vibranium, its crew is killed by water-breathing superhumans, and their leader, Namor, sneaks into Wakanda to deliver the Queen an ultimatum.
The Queen!
Deliver him the scientist who made the vibranium-detecting machine, the one scientist in the world who could do it, or he and his army will attack Wakanda. Shuri and Royal Guard Okoye identify the scientist as MIT student Riri Williams and confront her. But before they can leave, they're attacked by both the FBI and Namor's warrior. Namor's warriors?
No love, baby.
Who capture Shuri and Riri. Namor. I think it's Namor.
Maybe in the proper Spanish pronunciation.
Okay, one of those. He shows Shuri his vibranium-rich secret underwater kingdom of Talokan and explains that optimally, sure, he'd kill Riri, but he actually wants to ally with Wakanda to invade the surface world for enslaving people that look like them. Shuri and Riri escape with the help of T'Challa's old lover, Nakia.
Yeah.
But Namor attacks Wakanda in retaliation, killing Queen Ramonda and vowing to return in 1 week with his full army. Using the vibranium-infused fibers in a bracelet given to her by Namor, Shuri completes the synthetic heart-shaped herb and ingests it, gaining superpowers and meeting Killmonger in the Ancestral Plane, who urges her to seek revenge. Shuri dons a Black Panther suit and leads the Wakandans to war against Talokan. Riri also creates an Iron Man-type suit and fights in the battle. Battling Namor, Shuri eventually gains the upper hand and implores him to yield, offering a peaceful alliance. Namor accepts, and they're friends. Riri returns to MIT, and M'Baku challenges an absent Shuri for the throne. She's gone to Haiti to visit Nakia and burn her funeral robe in accordance with her mother's wishes, allowing herself to make peace with T'Challa's death. But wait! In a mid-credits scene, Nakia introduces Shuri to her and T'Challa's son that she's been raising in secret.
Miles Morales.
I don't know how to say his name properly. Toussaint.
Not Toussaint.
Toussaint.
It's French for your son.
But his Wakandan name, don't forget.
T'Challa.
It's T'Challa. It's a T'Challa Jr. It's okay.
It's T'Challa, actually.
He's still here.
It's T'Challa, but the two L's are like the Roman I.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. There's lots to say.
There's lots of good stuff.
Let's talk about the good stuff.
It starts strong.
Yeah.
Mid, like, high stakes drama of T'Challa's dying and she's trying to print the
cold open.
The cold open.
Very cold open. It was such a cold open. They didn't even have in my theater a feature presentation thing.
Yeah.
It went from a Scotiabank commercial to boom. I didn't even know if it was really the movie or not.
Same. Yeah. Love that.
I just assumed it was more trailers.
Honestly, every movie should do that.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Especially in the TikTok age of, like, we got to get to the good stuff first.
It was intense. And then it kind of... It became intense in various ways, like expanded from that to being like, we're at the UN and the world thinks we're weak and they're going to come at us and they have this new leader. Do we have faith in them? I thought all that was pretty
cool. That was a great sequence.
I love that sequence too. The way they make it seem is that like there's like the French soldiers or mercenaries are trying to get the stuff after. So you're like, oh man, they're going to get it. And then they flip it on it and you give you like the badass Wakanda's defending their shit. And you're like,
right.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then they don't kill the people and they parade them in front. And you're like, nice.
Although it was kind of interesting to end Black Panther on the idea that they're like, okay, his whole arc is like not being secretive and being like, yeah. Okay,
I am Iron Man.
Wakanda exists. We're going to help the world. And then at the beginning of this movie, they're saying like, you haven't really been doing anything. And she's like, fuck off. Like,
but I think though that's the part of the theme is that like, they're afraid because they don't have T'Challa to protect them, so they have to kind of like close in the borders and protect themselves. And
okay.
They've lost the ability. They haven't lost the ability. They've lost the will to reach out because they're just worried about protecting and holding on what they have.
Right. I mean,
we can't go to Mars now. Yeah. We got problems at home.
Regardless, I think that they set up a compelling environmental situation where, okay, the world is unstable and we've lost our king and our protector, and you know, this is a good setup for Shuri to have this kind of crisis of faith and crisis of conscience about what she should do.
When it works too, because the way that Shuri and the mom react is are very different, although they align, and I think it works to, you know, set up how Shuri is just so burdened and so bitter against the world.
Mm-hmm.
I like that setup.
Yeah, I thought it would, like, it felt a little shoehorned in that she was like, I can't think about T'Challa too much, or I can't like burn my robes, or else I'll want to burn the whole world down with it. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of came out of nowhere.
I don't want to get into that arc too deep now because there's definitely problems with it, but there's stuff about it that works.
Oh, right. I got to keep talking about the good stuff.
I think her performance is great.
She's good. She's a cool character.
I really felt invested in her. I want to see her succeed, and I cared about how she was feeling.
And I really actually, I meant it in my slogan when I said, like, the movie, like, you didn't need guys or white guys. You know what I mean? Like, when you have Shuri is the main character and she's a badass, and then they go meet this prodigy scientist kid, and that's just a young woman as well. And then you've got these three women with Iron Man suits and crazy pimped out cars.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't even cross your mind. Like, it doesn't matter.
Totally. It never feels forced in the way that it did in like Endgame, where they have like the shot and like, see, representation.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's just people doing what they do and they're awesome and it's cool. And
yeah. That's a huge kudos for me too, because I didn't think about it once. I mean, I did think about how it, you know, ironically, it kind of feels like they shoehorned in the one white guy in the movie.
He's the worst out of place.
The one they keep calling colonizer.
Yeah, I didn't even put him in the synopsis because I'm like, this plot is basically, we don't need it. We don't need to like call him and be like, hey, wait.
He's definitely
no. Puts pressure on though that the world. There's a reason for that existing. It's like now the CIA, there's like interest from these third parties, and how that affects the water people versus the Wakandans. Mm-hmm. It makes this whole kind of love triangle, so to speak.
Yeah. But if they could have cut that out and made the movie tighter and
half an hour shorter,
that'd
be great.
That's a long movie.
2 hours.
Dude.
2 hours. 10. Yeah.
When Namor was giving his like flashback life story, I was like, give me my 10 minutes back.
Really? Oh, I didn't hate that part at all.
I
didn't hate that at all. I really like Namor. I think he's one of my, as a sympathetic villain, I think he works where he's a villain, but he's not evil. And you can kind of rally behind some of his cause. Obviously, he's pushed a little too far into their cartoony at some points with like his lack of any empathy and mercy and stuff. But they sort of bring him around at the end.
I like how they set off being like, well, is there peaceful resolution for this?
Yeah.
No? Okay, well, in that case, I have to do this.
Yeah.
So that was all fine for me.
I think it's undercut by his intro, where it's clearly like supposed to be intimidating. I think it would have been more interesting if he came in with full, like, full diplomatic, like, envoy, and was actually trying for peace, not, like, showing up at this private moment being like, I can get anything I want. Mm. I'm so powerful. I snuck in here. Everyone is here.
That was not even the first time we saw him. The first time we saw him was the attack on that vessel.
Well,
and then you see his silhouette.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
Imposing though, he's fine.
That attack was kind of cool.
The thing with that attack though is like, I was like, okay, this chick, she's not dead yet. She'll be a character for sure. And then, nope.
Yeah, and I thought that was gonna be interesting that she thought it was the Wakandans, and then she calls and is like, no, it's blue people.
No, wait, they're blue.
I just saw an Avatar trailer, so it was very weird.
Also,
it's,
you know what's so weird. Funny about that is
it's
that
also
they're
a
like
water Avatar movie. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
what's so funny about that is that, okay, we found vibranium at this place, and the blue people came in and killed us all. The government like would know where the ship was. It's like, we can just come back and keep digging, you
but
know,
don't, we'll kill you
with more weapons. Yeah. I don't know. That was kind of a,
what I liked about the sequence.
Why
was,
do I feel the need to bring up plot holes in the good section? Stop. Sorry.
That's your favorite. That's your favorite thing.
I know. It just comes out.
Mostly wasn't good.
Comes into my brain.
I really like the buildup of that sequence. You know, when the guy kind of sees just the head out of the water. And says,
yeah.
What is it? Like,
that's kind of creepy.
And then when the song starts playing and the people just like, you know, walk off the ship.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool and kind of creepy. But they never show them dead. They never show what happens to those
people. They never show anything more about the song either. It's just, they just do it twice.
Yeah, they never explain how they have that.
And I think they could
power.
That's the thing, is I feel like with Namor in general, he seems like, here's a tangent, but there's like a tabletop role-playing game like D&D, but it's Marvel. And you might think, cool, I get to play with Wolverine or Spider-Man. No, you generate characters, but you generate your powers by rolling.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, okay, I have super speed, but also I have a horn on my head, and then also time travel. And it's just like things that don't go together. I mean, those things probably go together all right. You can run really fast and charge somebody. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, Namor feels like a weird, like, you rolled the dice to get his powers thing. It's like, he can breathe underwater and swim real good, but he also has wings to fly. You're like, he seems like a mishmash.
It's weird.
And then they have the singing thing. You're like, what is all this shit?
He, I will say, one of the things I wanted to say was how, like, that was a batting it out of the park situation in terms of the depiction of the Talokans, or the Atlanteans, who are now Talokans in
the MCU.
No,
they're not Atlanteans.
Well, Namor is from Atlantis
in the original
In the Marvel comics.
I think that's a cool little change.
Yeah, I love it.
You think they looked cool?
I think it was so good.
You mean Namor or his, like, people?
The whole thing. Yeah. Like, Talokan and Namor and their
characterization. You thought Namor looked cool?
No.
I thought he looked awesome.
Everybody was laughing. Those freaking wings were so stupid.
Okay, other than the wings.
Literal pigeon wings.
Okay, other than the wings. Take away the wings, he looked awesome. And then the characterization of him and his culture.
Take away the wings, he looked like a guy.
No, but his design, like his outfit and stuff.
Cool piercings.
And I like that he's like, he's a fit body, but he's not like, you know, superhero body.
The swimmer's body.
Swimmer's body, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the costume design, the placing this character inside this like Mesoamerican Mayan culture, it sets them up as a foil for Wakanda in a really great way. They both have vibranium. They both represent people in other parts of the world who were oppressed and stuff, and so they bond over that.
That's
the
movie's really about, right?
Yeah,
it's minority versus minority, and then they get along at the end.
It's a super cool thematic idea to put in there, and I think that they really, really executed well on the implementation of it.
Those rebreathers that they had were sweet.
Yeah. Those were really cool. The first time you see a close-up and you see that there's like water in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it reminds me of that scene in Finding Nemo where Marlin, like, he goes up to the surface of the water to look for Nemo, who's just been taken away in a boat.
Yeah.
And then he has to go back down. And when he plunges in the water, he goes, and then he goes back up to the top. It's like bizarro.
I feel like there are some things that are really, really, really hard to avoid when you're depicting like an underwater society.
Do they explain?
And so there are definitely times when it feels goofy, but overall, I think when she like comes down to Talokan and he's like showing her the city,
so cool.
And we're like getting a glimpse into how their life is, and they're like farming kelp and stuff, and we meet the kids. I was like, this is cool. This is really cool.
So much more of that.
Yeah.
I wish that more of the movie had been spent like
that. Was actually a nitpick of mine was that I was like, why are all these scenes with him? Like even him talking to his people, they're all not in the water.
Yeah,
it was annoying.
When?
Like he, pardon me.
When?
Well, there's a bunch, but one in particular was near the end. One of the final scenes you see with Namor, he's talking to one of his lieutenants or whatever, and she has the rebreather thing on, and they're just in some room.
Okay, he's doing his art.
I think that's his place to chill. He likes going because he can go above.
What an elitist.
He can breathe air and water, so he wants to chill, you know, in the air sometimes.
I think it was just a budget thing. Like the underwater scenes are expensive. Plus, they don't really make sense. Like, when we did go underwater, I was like,
how are they yelling?
Should they be speaking? I really don't know the answer to this. Should they be speaking sign language or not? Because sound moves twice as fast underwater. In theory, they could talk to each other. If
sound
you can,
moves twice as fast?
Yeah.
Underwater?
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true. You learn that when you do your diving.
Also, explosions are way more effective. And the Wakandans should know that.
But like, okay, let's say you're underwater, right? Because when we speak underwater, it's all...
That's why they use sonar. But maybe it's because
if you could breathe under there, it would sound normal. And the other thing is, so much of our perceptual system is like processing after the fact. Like if you get a cochlear implant, the first few days to like a year, it sounds like garbage. But then your brain gets used to what it's supposed to sound like. And eventually it sounds pretty close to like
I
not
think
having
that,
an implant.
I think that I was like, there was a part of my brain that I was like, How would they talk underwater? Like, how does sound work or whatever? But then at some point, you're just kind of like, eh.
It's a super movie.
Well, they do this hand signal a billion times in the movie.
I think it's like a shark.
It's a Hayuken, actually.
I think it's supposed to be the serpent, because his name means serpent or whatever. Kukulkan or whatever it is.
Open your butt. someone else does like a little blinky sign. Like, they're like,
do they
smiling.
Do sign language?
Someone does something with their eyes to some other character at one point, but that's about it. And then they talk. So I don't know.
I think in general, it's just they didn't fully flesh out what they could have. And I think that movie would be really well served by that fantasy element.
I'm curious as to how. So, like, it shows them moving around with, like, no, this is more of a nitpick.
You're gonna save that one?
Let's stick on the good stuff.
Yeah, I'm saving it. I'm saving it.
It's an ambitious film.
How
that's
do we
good
feel?
And bad, but it's ambitious to like introduce a whole new nation.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the fact that like the main character of the first movie is gone? Rip.
Everybody
Chadwick
understands
Boseman.
For one.
Yeah. But like, do you feel like the movie suffered at all for not really having that main character? Or like, because basically the only people left are the supporting characters from the first movie.
I think Shuri has enough charisma and people liked her quite a bit. Like, she is heavily featured in Infinity War because of that.
Yeah. I think that they did the best with a hard situation, and I think it was really smart not to recast, and it was especially smart not to CG model Chadwick.
This
Boseman.
Was the right decision.
Yeah. And I think it was tasteful as well. Like, they could have, you know, even in a flashback, you know, done CG something, but the only time he appears is in that mural during the funeral procession, and then when she finally lets herself grieve and has the flashbacks of the first movie, and I think it's perfect. It's the perfect amount.
The flashback was good. They do that gif there where, you know, they dab each other up and do the thing.
Really like that. I think that the movie, it's like you feel the void, but I think that's the point. I think like you're meant to be like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And like, as an audience member, you're kind of a participant to that feeling.
You're right. That was well done.
Yeah. And I think it really works. I think that, like you said early on, it's not super clear who the movie is following. Like, it spent so much time with Queen, the Queen. And I love that journey. But I also think that the movie didn't really succeed in convincing me of Shuri's arc.
Right.
Like, she kind of has two, like, one from reluctantly, you know, not wanting to be the Black Panther to being the Black Panther, but then also from revenge to forgiveness. And I think like becoming Black Panther, that arc sort of works for me, whatever, it's fine. But the forgiveness to, or the revenge to forgiveness one, it's one of those arcs where you're like, oh, what did we do to learn to forgive?
Yeah
right. Exactly. It just happens.
It's like at the end, they're like, you know what, I learned something today. And they tell you it and you're like, when did you learn the journey?
That?
It was kind of all scattered. I was trying to think throughout the movie, like, what's the dramatic question of this movie? Is it like, it's unclear. Is it, will she become Black Panther, or will there be another Black Panther, or will there be a leader, or is Wakanda safe, or should Wakanda help other nations? Like, it's all, there's a lot of
there's
themes.
A lot of
there's
questions
a lot of
that
on.
Are kind of like, some are left unresolved and others are resolved, but sort of unsatisfyingly. For me, I was like, when they did the whole, like, I was just confused by her suddenly being like, yeah, I'm gonna get revenge. I'm gonna just revenge because he killed my mom. And
well, that
never mind that this was all sort of based on a weird misunderstanding. And like, you know, if people just kind of sat down and had some more diplomatic talks, I think it would be fine. But
they really should have just allied with the Namor right at the beginning. Nobody would step to them at all. They'd be like, we have the vibranium. We're like superhuman.
Never mind that. But like the fact that her getting on the revenge track was confusing, and then her getting off was just so sudden. There doesn't seem to be a.
I was kind of hoping the movie finished with her having a dark ending, like killing him, and then she needs redemption in a later movie. And I think it's a missed opportunity. In one hand,
would be too dark.
Like,
imagine
how
she just did like a spinning back fist and just like slit her throat with her nails. Yeah. That'd be crazy.
Well, I liked when she's just watching him try to get to water and he collapses or whatever. I think that was cool.
But I need water. I'm drying up. Like,
he says it out loud.
I need water. I'm just a fish man.
Audience forgot.
I like how self-contained the movie is. Like, it doesn't really need the broader MCU to function. But I also think that the arc just, they close it off, but it's like it would have been left better left a little open, I think.
Yeah.
But I also think they didn't really, they didn't do the build up to like her not wanting to be the Black Panther. Like, I didn't really feel like she was resisting the whole time.
She like says a couple times, it's like, oh, mom, the Black Panther's old and it's for old people. Yeah.
Right. Cause there's another theme of ritual or ceremony or tradition versus, I don't know, modernity.
Yeah, I guess so. And she's like, I don't believe in any of that stuff, and I'm not going to burn my clothes because, like, you say so, mom. And then at the end, she, like, burns them. And
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, becomes the Black Panther.
I think one of the best moments in the whole movie, though, is when she does take the synthetic heart, and she has, like, the Vision Quest or whatever, and it's Killmonger that shows
up. That's a good twist.
That was like a, I felt it.
I feel like Michael B. Jordan was, like, kind of phoning it in for this. That's what I felt like, anyways.
He was that feeling.
Yeah, guess what? It's me, and I came back for the movie because they paid me to. So, what are you going to be a pussy? like I don't know.
I didn't find that. It didn't distract me in that.
Oh, really? But. Okay. I just thought he. I feel like, especially next to all the like Wakandan people speaking with such passion, they're just like, "We have to protect our country," and like blah blah blah. And then like Killmonger comes and he's like, "Yo, I'm here just to burn it up, bro." Like. Okay.
I mean, like, that's... He wasn't Wakandan. Like, he's
no, I know. But. I just... I'm not sure if there's an easy way to get around that.
That's fine.
I just feel like the contrast there leaves me a little bit unsatisfied with his performance. It feels out of place. But, yeah. One thing I was, like, super... As long as we're talking about arcs and themes and stuff, just really, really confused about Namor, like, really, really wanting to kill this scientist. It's like... Who created... Okay, they found vibranium. Who built the machine? Well, I mean, it was the U.S. government, but they contracted a student from MIT to do it. I have to find this student and kill her. Okay, but they probably have, like, the blueprints for the machine. They're probably going to be able to make more.
So they didn't contract her. She was just a project she made, and then the government took it. So she didn't even know that they... Like, according to her, what she said, she's like, I didn't even know that they were doing that with it.
Mm.
And so I think that it was just like she's.
And then later in the movie, they reproduce it without her, right?
Yeah, and I also think that it's like.
Wait, who does?
There's a part of the movie where they go. They built another machine, and this is while she's in the custody of Wakanda.
Oh, but didn't Wakanda build the machine?
I thought
Wakanda, like Shuri and them, recreated the machine again
to trap them
to find Talokan or whatever.
Oh, that was actually just a bunch of flashlights underwater.
I also think that it doesn't really. Makes sense. They try and characterize her as, you know, like really scrappy and resourceful. Like she, all the parts are from a junkyard. Like that's like crazy. But it also means that it would be really easy to replicate if it's all like known parts that you can find.
But also to your earlier point, kill her all you want. They know now, or was it your point? They know now that there's vibranium there.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't go looking for it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But unless there's like other.
Yeah, so because this whole thing is like, okay, we got to kill the scientists so that we remain secret. They can't find the vibranium, but they already know where the vibranium is. They found it. And so that whole kill the scientist thing felt stupid. So silly.
What's
to me.
What's the deal with him?
Because he, and then,
just like,
and then not only that, but it's used as the reasoning for why he explains to her his entire life story. he's like, she's like, how did you get like this or whatever? He's like, the how is never as important as the why. And he's like, long ago, let's go all the way back. And he tells her the whole story. And then we get back to the present and she's like, why are you telling me this? And he's like, so you can know why I need to kill the scientist. I'm like, no, that was not necessary.
When she said that, I literally said in the theater, she's like, why are you telling me this? And I was like, exactly. Cut it out.
Yeah, but then his answer is also stupid. Like, what? And then, like, a minute later, she's like, but maybe we can't, like, you know, maybe we don't have to kill the scientist. He's like, it's not even about the scientist. It's actually about the fact that I want to invade the surface world because they're dicks and they enslave us. And I'm like, okay, wait, so if that's what it was about, why are you focusing on the scientist so much?
They definitely compromised on that character for the sake of the plot.
I was so irritated. And that kind of, honestly, that's the point at which the movie really took a turn for me. Up until that point, I was like on board. I was like, cool. Like, let's go. We got themes. We got arcs set up.
Well, speaking of the scientists, let's start about the good stuff about Ironheart first.
Yeah.
I like the intro. I like the kind of build up. I like going to her garage, you know, like, is that what I think?
The dorm room scene was funny.
Yeah, it was super funny. Yeah, she like throws a speaker and stuff. Like, that stuff's really good. You got 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Even like the build up to the chase was good. I like how Shuri, you know, puts the little auto driving stuff on the car and then
that weirded me out. that's established in the first movie, right?
Yeah.
Because I was like,
you can like control cars with
how the hell does this technology work? It's like, is it magnets? Like, what? It's
nanomachines is my guess.
You just put a puck on the roof and it can somehow control the steering and pedals from across the car.
Wakandan technology is just basically vibranium. Like magic. You can't think about how it works.
So I like that character, and then they run out of stuff for her to do.
Yeah.
They're like, they don't really have a purpose for her other than to establish her for the MCU. I'm guessing there'll be an Ironheart show. She feels like the kind of character that
Ironheart.
Yeah, yeah, so it's like the successor to Iron Man. But normally she's in high school, but it's a
fine. Do you know anything about the comic version of her?
Not enough.
Like, does she like, is she involved with Stark stuff at all? Like,
so, but
because in this one it seems like she's just like, you're working with Stark tech, and I guess it's just like arc reactor tech is stuff that anyone can find and work with in some way.
He open sourced it, like instead Elon of like Hyperloop.
I feel like I would have appreciated a bit more of like a direct connection to the Iron Man franchise, in terms of like the characters in it and stuff. Yeah.
She should have been dating Peter Parker. That'd be sick.
I mean, maybe something like that, or like they go.
Like,
on
it's my
a
boyfriend
date.
Calling. And it's like Miles Morales, and it's like alternate.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of fun things you can do it just seemed kind of like, I guess they were like, she's a black character, and Black Panther is the black people franchise, so we got to put her in there. It just felt like kind of weird. I'm like, can we, now it's like she's like Iron Man inspired, but she's only in this movie because she's black. I don't know. I just think
they didn't.
It felt kind of weird to me.
They didn't really have a purpose for her, and I think that's one of those, like, this is a burden of the MCU, and it sucks because I like that actor. I like the character. I think I like the performance.
Oh my gosh, Don Cheadle. Why didn't they bring in Don Cheadle?
That would have been pretty sweet.
War Machine guy, he's black.
Yeah, and then you could tie that together, I'm sure.
Yeah, that could have been a thing.
But I have to say...
What?
What other black people are there?
No, I just mean as long as...
Get him in here.
Like, it's clear that Riri Williams is in the movie because she's another black woman superhero character.
The movie knows that the character is useless because they just keep referring to her as the scientist. The scientist.
Well, Namor keeps calling her the scientist. I guess they do call her the scientist, too. I just mean, as long as you're trying to... Because I think it's cool how Black Panther, you know, has this whole, like, we're going to represent the diverse black experience. We have the American black people, and we have the, you know, African black people, and they're meeting. It's a, you know, they have common ground. And so, I respect that. I'm just saying that if you wanted to stay on that theme, you could bring in... Rhodey to come in and like kind of guide Riri
I think it's nice to have like a new character. I just think that like you think of...
No,
like,
I'm not saying instead of Riri. Oh, I'm saying if you want
to
bring in Riri,
to tie it, sure.
Involve him. I don't know.
And have it be that's their connection to
and
Stark,
then it would feel a bit better to me. But
yeah, I also think that like they did a better job with Killmonger, you know, exploring that theme of like, you know, the African black experience versus the American black experience.
Yeah.
But my big problem with Ironheart is her suit is the fucking ugliest thing I've ever seen.
It's so, yeah.
Why the fuck is it so bad?
It looks
janky.
You
mean janky. The one she builds?
The first
the one
one's
she's given.
Fine.
Well,
it's
yeah, it's supposed
like,
to be
yeah.
janky.
But it's still like not as, it's not a cool janky.
No.
But the final suit looks like a cartoon, and
you
it's
know
so out of place, and
yeah.
it looks so tacky.
It doesn't look real.
No, it sucks.
It you know what it looks like? It looks like the Pokemon that Scyther evolves into.
Oh, that's, yeah. I was going to say...
Zizor.
Like Big Hero 6.
Is it
like
Zizor?
I don't know.
I think it might be Zizor.
I only know the original 151, bro. Yeah, I guess it's allowed. It's in bounds. It's kind
Zizor,
of a,
you're right.
Kind of a nitpick for
nice.
Me. I was like, what the hell? Like, they just built that in the 6 days that they hung out? Like, yeah. But I guess if you're saying all is fair in Wakanda, they can do whatever they want. They can just snap their fingers and have stuff.
Oh, Zizor.
Zizor.
Scissor. With the SC, yes. Just so we know. Zizor is the prince from the Star Wars Legends. Prince Zizor.
To
with
me,
an X.
It's indicative of the movie's lack of interest in its superhero stakes.
Mm.
And I think, like, you can... This movie has phenomenal production design. Like, some of those costumes, some of the suits, some of the sets, absolutely gorgeous. Like, some of the stuff that Shuri wears, I'm like, this is the coolest tracksuit any human being has ever fucking worn.
I was like, did they get yay in for this? Before the bad times?
Yeah. But then all the superhero stuff just feels so uninspired. Like, both...
At least it wasn't floaty this time.
That's fair. The
combat
CG
was so floaty.
Was better.
Time.
Right.
And I think the Black Panther suit is actually really cool. I think they really did well with that. And I like that it incorporates elements of Killmonger, like, you know, like the little studs that he has that like mark the people he's killed.
Yeah?
That Black Panther suit has like kind of that more of that
style.
Oh,
interesting.
Which I think really it looks cool.
I think the Black Panther... But
Riley doesn't. He's a hater.
Midnight...
What are you talking about? What?
Angel.
Killmonger's skin? I like that.
The Midnight Angel what? Suit.
What are you talking about?
The
what?
Fuck you just
I like his skin.
I thought you were hating on the Black Panther suit earlier.
When?
I don't know. No, wrong. Go ahead,
but,
Dave.
The Midnight Angel suit is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I thought that I was like, oh, that must be how it looks in the comics.
It must be, but that's not an excuse.
It looks dumb. Kind of looks like Knuckles from Sonic.
Kind of, but like with the stupid fish eyes. I don't know, man.
Are you trying to bring it up
now? I'm going to try and see in the comics.
Yeah, I'm trying to see too.
From the Googs?
Because it just like, it's one of those like... Really...
They do look like that. Yeah, they are pretty faithful adaptations of the way the suits look in the comics.
I don't hate it.
I mean, I thought it was just weird that they have like, okay, they made these like Iron Man suits, but then they come to fight the regular soldiers and at the end they're like, oh no, we're stuck with everyone else. It's like, you can fly and like...
Oh, dude, that
can
wasn't even
the
worst.
Can you not, like, shoot lasers or anything?
You're talking about the part where they're all... There's only a few Wakandans left, and they're all getting, like, crunched and cornered in the bow of the ship.
Yeah.
And you can see Ironheart's there with her guns drawn, like, her hands are out.
Fucking let go.
I'm like,
when
were you going to shoot? Yeah. If you're not shooting now, fucking when are you going to shoot?
Don't come any closer, or else...
We're all about to die.
Yeah, like, I didn't understand.
This is when you shoot.
Yeah, that's so a good point. Yeah, she should literally be obliterating every single one of them.
Yeah. I just
she'd be like, Dabu die, motherfucker. They're blue.
Yeah.
They're blue above water.
Above water. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that was a cool detail.
They don't explain it, right? They just kind of.
Oh, I didn't notice that, actually.
Yeah, underwater. Because I was like, this is weird.
No, it's just all relative. Everything else is bluer down there.
I mean, I know. I mean, I figured it was something to do with blood oxygenation or whatever.
Sure.
But like, it doesn't make sense at the same time because they have the water masks thing. So.
It represents how you're an other only next to another society. It's a patriarchy thing. And then once you go in your own, when you're in your own nation.
Yeah.
Kind of along the same lines.
I felt that.
I thought it was interesting that their whole plan stakes on a theory that might be true about Namor's ability to breathe. They're like,
right.
They're like, okay, so they breathe because they have gills, but he doesn't have gills.
Oh,
it must be through his skin.
I hate this trope.
And I'm like, it should have been like an earlier fight and like all of a sudden like they wind him. It's the first time they injure him and he gets winded and like, oh, that gives him the clue as to how to beat him or something. This movie, in terms of like action, it doesn't really have like this big build towards like a final climactic scene. I think the 2/3 fight is way better than the final fight. The final fight sucks.
Yo, what's the 2/3
fight? That's the when he attacks Wakanda. And he's like, flying through the air, destroying the ships and
that
stuff.
Fight
like,
that fight is awesome.
Pretty cool, yeah.
What happened? I actually need clarification on this. So he's limping towards the water. She decides to go and do a flip over him. And then she does a yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. She goes, Wakanda forever! And then explosion happens. Was that set up?
Wait, what?
Well, so the suit can absorb kinetic energy and she can release it all at once. So I think she's releasing the kinetic energy and it's blasting the
Why did the ship blow up?
I think it's just because, like, you know, energy.
It was time.
I don't know.
What the hell was that?
I think it was a poor setup.
What the hell was that? I was like, known that the Wakandan ships detonate or like...
No, the AI said it was going to explode.
Oh.
They didn't even show in this movie that she can absorb the energy and shoot
it
back out.
This shows a couple times like when she lands the blue or like purple like goes up. There's like, if you know it does that, it's there, but
the movie doesn't explain it.
Well, sorry, no one watched the first one because it sucked.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about me. I watched part of it and I was like, this sucks. I turned it off.
The first one was fine.
It was fine.
Everyone knows it sucks.
I thought the first one was better than this one.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Well, this one sucks too. You gave it a higher rating.
The first one was way more tight narratively. Yeah.
But it was less ambitious.
It was less ambitious.
A good Marvel origin.
Yeah,
scenes were at night and stuff. And
it wasn't. It wasn't a good movie, but it was fine. It was like standard Marvel threshold.
This one's ambitious, but I think to a fault.
This one falls just below.
But there was not a single fight, like a fist fight, that I was like, wow, this looks really like intense. Like even when
the general
versus the blue, I don't know. That seems stiff.
Oh yeah.
And they kept like cutting too much where I didn't feel like I was getting the kinetic impacts. And it just
felt
like
that was the fight where I was like confused.
Yeah, and it's hard to follow
the first half of it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
And I thought that fight was solid.
I find it generally frustrating, this movie.
Generally.
They're trying to characterize the Wakandans as, you know, like being the good guys. So you never see them kill anyone, and you see the Tolokans kill people left, right, and center, but I found it frustrating when they're fighting and it's fucking war, the Wakandans still weren't killing the Tolokans. I'm like, brah, just like, it's time to start stabby. Like, let's really... And on that fight, I found that frustrating.
Mm. I don't know. I thought that that whole fight was cool with her on the bridge, because, especially because before then, we've just seen her like tool everybody. Like, she is like the best fighter in Wakanda.
She's really good with the bow
staff. She's so good. And then she comes face to face with this guy and he rocks her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, that it was a little shocking just because of that. And I also thought there were some cool like impact moments. Like, he like, she goes to block a hit and he hits her staff, but then she like,
she's vibrated
and it like drags her through, like cool. drags her cool. spear through the bridge,
and,
like,
and he's not even the, he's just like a henchman.
No. Yeah, and that's like, okay, but that's a huge nitpick at the same time. The fight, I think the actual fight and the choreography and stuff was cool, but huge nitpick on that one is the fact that she kills the guys and they get up.
Yeah,
she kills the soldiers and they're just like, oh, we're okay now, and then they go, and but they never address that again.
She says I put them down and they got up moments later. She says that.
Later, they never have to like then, fight resurrecting.
Yeah, later Nakia shoots one of them with the sonic round and she's just like, oh, I'm dead now.
Yeah, I totally don't understand.
There's nothing we can do to save you, even though our other guys can apparently just resurrect themselves after getting stabbed
sonic
through the
blast,
midsection.
Though. That's their weakness.
Sonic blast.
When
why was it sonic? From this range, it's lethal. Why was it a sonic thing?
I don't know, man.
Why don't you just use a gun? Why don't you use a regular gun?
Just bullets underwater? I don't know.
Because it's Marvel. But they have guns in Marvel. Whatever. It's fine. Moving on.
How about those whales throwing people? That was hilarious. That orca comes up and goes, yeet, and just launches someone onto the boat. Me and my friend were both just like,
really?
There were so many moments in this
movie. I didn't do that at that part because I was like, yeah, that's sick. You would use that strategy if you were water people.
It looked silly. I wasn't like, hell yeah. I was like,
okay. Are we into nitpicks and hitpicks? I don't know.
The whole movie is. I don't know. I'll hit the button. I love the button.
Nitpicks. on the topic of the absorbing oxygen through the skin thing, like when they're figuring that out, they're like, yeah, it must be like he must be able to like absorb it through the skin.
He's all Gil.
It's a process called, and then her and Riri, Shuri and Riri both say, diffusion.
Grade 8 science world word.
I'm like, what? You're saying the thing that literally everyone in the world knows the word for?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be genius scientists. Like, I don't know. It seems so weird.
But they should have said it with a different tone, like diffusion.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I mean, that would be a little better. Yeah. I just feel like if you're going to do that bit, do it with like a different concept that not everyone knows.
Quantum diffusion. Or something.
There were some weird editing choices in the movie that made things really jarring. And the biggest one that I remember is Shuri and what's her name? Anika?
The new
Dora Majore or whatever?
The Haitian one?
No.
The woman of Haiti?
No. Oh. She's one of the guards.
The one with the daggers? The eye makeup one. Yeah, with the daggers.
Yeah.
Anika,
They're both in the ship and they got shot down and it's sinking and the water's pouring in and they're like, oh no, what are we doing? And then it cuts away and then the next shot we see them in is they're on the civilian transport. I was like, what?
No, you see them get sucked up.
When?
There's a shot where like the teleporter beam pulls them up.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Wow, I missed that. Okay, because I was like, what? And then like it's jarring again because the next scene we see them is them barging into the throne room. And I'm like, okay, I guess they got there somehow.
I think the movie really did struggle in the clarity of action. I think like across all its action scenes, it's hard to really follow. And it doesn't feel like it was carefully thought out. It just feels like they're like, okay, this stuff happens. Yeah, we'll shoot it. Okay, we'll edit it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's messy. I never felt like there was an action scene where I was like, hell yeah, that's so cool. Or like, you know, a big sequence where like, oh, we're like, it's nail biting. It's tense. Oh man, I can't wait to see what happens. Right. Like the moment I got most hyped for was when Shuri finally is the Black Panther and she like lands in the thing and then she has her moment with all the Wakanda tribes. She's like, I'm the Black Panther. And they're like, you're the Black Panther. That was like the coolest moment, the most hyped I got.
They do like the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
and
I fucking love it.
Arm clasp.
Those theater clappers were clapping at that part, you know?
People clapped?
You know, there's always those clappers.
Oh, that's. Yeah,
I watched the movie at 11 a.m. So
I go to I go to Landmark. It's where the more
sophisticated.
Yeah, the more moderate cinema goers. We're just like, I do like that.
Well, is it just me? I'm pretty sure there was a part where Shuri was piloting a ship in the final battle, and the ship got sufficiently damaged that she had to bail. So she she like purposefully, intentionally turns the ship so that it crashes in the water.
No.
And I was like, yo, wait, stop what? Trying to fight these motherfuckers in the water. They're they're good in the water. What are you doing?
Well, and go ahead.
Well, the other thing, sorry. No, you go.
Well, I just,
I insist.
This is a bigger one.
Oh yeah, I think it's frustrating in terms of like,
there it is.
The general frustrating is true.
That fucking guy. Whatever. Loser.
No, he's doing some fun.
They have no idea what we're talking about.
Know, nobody someone, else knows. Yeah. He knows. He knows.
Stay tuned for fan service.
That they really don't hone their technology to combat water folk. Like, there's so much you could do to like change the way your ships fly and fight. Especially after you've seen Namor just decimate your ships. Why wouldn't you change the way the armor works? Why wouldn't you change the way they fly?
Right? Yeah,
why
like blow dryers or something.
Yeah, and like, why wouldn't you choose, like, they have the sonic...
They come out there like Dyson.
Those water grenades.
...thing in the ship, which is good, but it's like, obviously that wasn't enough. But like, why wouldn't you, like, yeah, create water grenades that go in and like are concussive blasts? Like, there's so much you could do to fight water
just
people,
like,
and
or just like electrocute
about it.
Just like put an electrical current in
exactly.
there.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Or like oil.
No,
but they're like their vibranium protects it. Oh no, vibranium does everything.
Yeah.
Just gallons of oil. Just to unleash a pipe. Just crack a pipeline.
Oil spill.
He comes.
Namor gets stuck and he can't fly because his duck wings are all covered in oil.
I laughed so hard. They introduce him fully. It's like the first shot of him rising under the water. And it's ominous. Like, you know, he's just like, you know, without stepping, he's rising under the water until his feet come out. And it's just like,
man, the physics of it is so annoying. He's like, he does that thing where he's like descending very quickly and then stops abruptly, like, vroom.
Yeah,
and
it's like no. Yeah,
those little wings just spread out so wide that the 6-inch wingspan just went boop and broke his fall. Come on.
No, Marvel. Well, you can't.
I found it so frustrating that it took so long for someone to attack his ankles, because clearly that's the fucking weak point.
Yeah.
And I also think this movie is egregiously bad.
Too fast.
At bullets. At bullets. At people's armor having way too much skin and face exposed and bullets not hitting it.
That was annoying. Like, the first encounter with them, someone like point blanks, poof, 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 and it's like, ba-ding, bang, bing. Well, you just hit my one shoulder
Wait,
pad.
What are you talking about?
And missed my exposed
people,
skin.
Like, they don't show that they're bulletproof. Like, they don't show a shot of like hitting their skin and not. Every time they're shot, it just hits their armor.
I thought it did hit his shoulder and it just went like...
But the armor.
So like... Yeah, it did hit the armor, but I thought that, like, I saw a bullet hit his skin, too, and it, like, had, like, blood spray, but then it just was, like, fine. So that's why I was, like, when they got up after being stabbed, I'm like, okay, so they have healing or whatever. But then later, the lady dies, and she doesn't have healing. Yeah. So I'm like, when do they have healing and not? I'm still unsure about whether they can heal fast or something. I don't know.
They can fight on bridges because they're close to water.
They have, like, some vibranium powers. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like they are sort
vibrain-ish.
Of... they are super strong.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, part of the Black Panther's powers is healing, is fast healing. So I guess that could be part of it, but I'm confused what the movie thinks. I don't know.
I also have a question about DNA. Does plant DNA like stand the test of like 400, 500 years of being fiber? Like, can you really extract?
Is it the DNA though? Or
I
is
that's
it
what
the,
they
like
got
the...
to, they were able to like, you know, extrapolate DNA from the fibers of the bracelet, and that's what gave her the key, missing key?
I figured it was just like the chemical structure, or I don't know.
DNA is inside the nucleus of cells.
But I feel like it's like you can't.
Yeah, DNA can get destroyed.
Yeah, you can't really get something that's usable. It's fine. I at that point, I'm nitpicking.
Yeah, for sure.
This is the nitpick section, baby.
You're right.
I was kind of confused, though, when she's like, and bring up my brother's DNA, because I'm like, wait, so does the heart-shaped herb... Because you only... I guess
heart-shaped
you just take it...
Heart-shaped herb. It's a Nirvana thing.
Does the heart-shaped herb change your DNA? Because I guess you take it once, and then you have the powers, but then
DNA.
They can take it away, too.
Man, why don't they just eat it? It's
yeah,
so
they
stupid.
Take they strip him of the heart-shaped herb powers.
Well, it's funny. I had forgotten for so long that Michael B. Jordan had killed, like, burned
no
all.
Longer, yeah, he ate
totally
it and then he
forgot. Burned it
he
all.
Burned the rest. I learned that from a recap video I watched before this
I
movie.
Should have watched the recap video. Should have watched one.
I didn't need to.
But, like, why didn't they just... Why doesn't the whole society eat the damn hearts, you know?
Because
why
it's
have
a
one Black
thing.
Panther when you can have like
well,
an army
because it's
of them.
Like a mass, it's a weapon of mass destruction. You can't just like arm your entire populace. But I guess the Taliban get by just fine with
the
everyone
Taliban?
Being... The Taliban.
How about several?
The
how about
Taliban.
A herd of black cats.
Oh, no.
Yeah, or like all the soldiers. Like they seem to be pretty
Yeah, the whole warrior class.
Because then they could take over. It's like it's too powerful. You need one Black Panther. It's not called Black Panthers.
Cats need a lot of territory.
Exactly.
Yeah, imagine how many litter boxes have been in Wakanda.
Exactly. They don't run in packs.
No.
Anyways.
I hate the conclusion of the final battle. I think it's the whole ship fight. I was like, oh, this is the final battle? Okay.
Yeah.
But then when it's like the last 20 people on the ship, it looks stupid. And then Namor and Shuri just fly up and they're like, everybody's cool. It's chill. It's okay.
I know.
And then it was like... And then they do like they kneel and do the hand thing. It's
just
like
so lame. Like it was so unsatisfying because she's like right there. She's it seemed like she had basically half killed him.
Yeah.
And then she's like, whoops, I guess revenge is bad. Let's be friends and forget we ever fought. And then, it's just like it was too cheesy. I'm like, this is.
And he's like, well, I'm almost dead. So sure.
Yeah,
this is like I could see this happening in one of those like. 2D animated comic book movies, but this is like too perfect. And then he's like, he tells everybody it's over, stop fighting. And they just immediately like, no questioning. No, like, wait, but they killed all our friends and stuff. They're just like, okay,
that's what you do, man.
Yes, sir.
He's in charge.
I know. I was just like, it was too neat.
I also am annoyed that they showed the Black Panther in the trailers. And I know
I was going to ask you because I don't watch trailers. If Shuri,
you don't know that it's Shuri, but you're like you know it's Shuri.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, that Black Panther looks like she's 85 pounds.
Yeah,
and the
rumors were that she was going to be the Black Panther, and I think that Disney can't help. But I think that
kind of obvious.
It would have been the movie would have been really well served if instead of just waiting for the Black Panther to show up, you're just like. Is there going to be a Black Panther or is it really going to be about the absence of it? And then all of a sudden they show up and you're like, oh shit.
Well, that was my experience.
If I could nitpick their trailer, I keep the shot where it's just a close up on the claws and she's going like, ching, because you're like, okay, those look like women hands, but I don't know. Who knows?
How dare you?
But it could also just be like she's making her own suit of something. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then the next shot in the trailer is her like doing a backflip and firing her like signature sonic blaster things. And it's like, okay, well, that's Shuri.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew it was immediately.
They should have went with M'Baku as Black Panther. Just a Chungus cat. Just guess who's M'Baku?
Just a jaguar. Just like thick.
Yeah. Black Panther.
I'm hoping...
Wait, that's what they're called. Yeah.
But jaguars are usually like big, thick boys.
Yeah.
Jaguars?
Yeah.
Jaguars, yeah.
Are they bigger than panthers?
Jaguars
they're
are
the same.
Yeah.
Black Panther is just a black jaguar.
Right. They're this like same animal.
I actually didn't know that.
Well, there's different varieties. Like some are black.
Have you seen... Apocalyptica, Mel Gibson one.
I haven't seen it. No.
Apocalyptica.
Wait, that's is that a band? What's that?
Yes, I have a long time ago, and I don't remember much.
There's a nice fat panther.
Man,
with
that's
silky,
a fat panther.
Shiny.
That's
coat.
What we need. We need a
Apocalyptico.
With a
Apocalypto.
PH.
Apocalypto. Yeah. That's what it is.
Apocalypto.
That's a pretty cool movie. I liked it.
Speaking of weird, I can't do the. It's impossible. I'm hoping you guys can help me answer this. Why did Namor say at the end, I think that in the final fight at some point, there's like a moment of quiet and he says, Imperius Rex. What the fuck was that?
I meant to look up what Imperius Rex means.
We all
get it. That's a Latin thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
That's
Namor.
Screen rant. Thank you.
Oh,
we weren't the only people.
An iconic catchphrase from the comics.
Oh.
Okay, it's one of those fan services.
That makes more sense if he's Atlantean.
Oh.
It makes no sense.
Oh, Shuri says, Wakanda forever, Namor replies with his own Imperius Rex.
Empire King.
It means Empire King. As such, the line serves as a dynamic reference to the anti-hero's comics origins while also giving him an epic counter. But was it? Because I was like, why did he say that?
It's just a... badly shoehorned comic book moment.
It's a I know you are, but what am I kind of
no you okay, so it is it's dumb.
Yes,
because he's
that's Thor, like a Roman Thor, Imperius Rex is like a I thought it was like a Roman soldier.
So in the comic book Thor asks him what that means and Namor said it means I'm going to feed your sorry Asgardian hide to the biggest sharks I can find. Okay, buddy. It's a huge achievement. Like DC, you know, DC managed to make Aquaman kind of cool, still kind of goofy in the movies, in his own movies. But I don't know. I feel like I like this one better because it seems more. Instead of just like basically just making Atlantis like it is in the comics, more or less, and then instead of making Aquaman like kind of a goofy guy with an orange shirt with fish scales on it, they made him like badass
Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, and he's like, oh, I drink now. but instead of that, they kind of like gave him a compelling backstory. They made the culture more believable than it than just like we were Greek people and now we're underwater.
But the population size, he says he has more soldiers than the surface has blades of grass.
I think
you guys started what 300 years ago with a team of like 8 people
because we like well they don't give birth, math here. They don't give birth to live children anymore. Oh, they have clutches of eggs.
Clutches. Yeah. Yes, you just jizz in the water. The other one swims
by.
It's
just like 20,000 children every time.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a weird line to say because clearly it's not true. Intimidator.
Okay, now this brings me to one of my nitpicks that I wanted to get to earlier. They live underwater. They have gills. They've adapted to life, but they don't have flippers or anything.
How are they so fast?
How are they fast? How do they swim so fast? It makes sense that they show them like hitching rides on orcas and whales and stuff, but it also shows them swimming. Like they just do the dolphin like, kick.
Kelp farts.
I was going to say they're like Ski-Doos where they take water in their mouth and then shoot it up their butt.
I mean, I would accept that they have vibranium too, and they've obviously used the technology to do stuff. So
they vibrate
it's like, They vibrate the water. Yeah, like they should have used vibranium to like make some sort of like fast travel technology. But no, they just show them like swimming the dolphin kick.
It's really hard to make technology.
Which is not that fast.
No. It's hard to make technology underwater. The shit's floating away. You're trying to work on stuff, just floating away, you know?
Yeah, how do they make technology? How do they do electrical
helping hands?
Well,
like, and rebreathers and stuff. Like they have advanced technology.
Not electricity though.
They do, yeah. But it doesn't really show their technology per se. Like, they have metal. How are they?
See, this is the whole thing with dolphins. Dolphins are as smart as people. They just don't have hands.
They just don't have vibranium.
If you didn't have it, if humans
they do
didn't
have sonar, though, which vibrates. For the record, I'm saying vibrate on purpose.
Oh, that's enough for me,
okay,
guys.
Okay, wait, one more. The Secret Sun thing. What do you guys feel about the Secret Sun? The T'Challa, Toussaint, whatever his name is.
Seen a few movies where you can be Black Panther.
Huh?
Keep it going.
Oh.
Do you think that it's like a 20-year plan?
I don't know, man.
I don't think so. I don't think they have...
I think it's just a way to bring that like character back by the same name.
Yeah, that's fair.
I felt like it was pretty fucking weird. And it made me feel uncomfortable a little bit. Because I was like, okay. It almost felt like Nakia was kind of like... And I'm still important because guess what? Even though I moved away from Wakanda, I'm still Wakandan. No, everyone's forgetting that I'm Wakandan. And look, I have his son. I have a little T'Challa.
It's kind of like a little
remember me.
Wakandese colony then.
Yeah.
He's royalty.
What was the comparison? There was another comparison where it was like, Forrest Gump. People were saying that it kind of felt like Forrest Gump, where she's like, and this is your son. And he's like, what? Now, in this one, it's better because it's like she says, T'Challa knew about the kid and he was like helping to raise.
There's a deleted scene with T'Challa being like, he's not, you know.
But there's a weird.
Watch the Forrest Gump episode, guys.
But there's a weird like time element to this because T'Challa was snapped away. The kid is 6 and this is 1 year after T'Challa died. And so it's assumed, it's implied basically that Nakia got pregnant and then T'Challa got snapped away.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, the kid is 5, T'Challa returns from the Thanos snap, and then he helps raise him for a year. It's been secret for a year. Like, did he find out then, or did he know right away?
I don't know.
There are all these questions, it kind of feels weird. And then, so
he comes back from being snapped. Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. And she's like, I got someone for you to meet. And he's like,
she's like, I want to meet someone for. I forget what she talks like in the movie.
I don't think it sounds like that.
I want to meet someone for. You got yourself a child. wait. What was the other thing? And then, it also felt weird because, okay, this whole movie, one thing that I forgot to say that was like a hit pick earlier was the way that they dealt with his funeral and stuff. I felt like the movie was very respectful there. Some of the people I saw it with were like, it felt kind of weird because it felt like they were like capitalizing on him being dead and people like feeling feelings about it.
I don't think so.
And I thought they did it well.
Yeah. When they sucked that coffin up into the ship, though, that was the worst CG.
It was pretty, yeah.
Like, that is CG.
Yeah, it was not good. Didn't look great. But I thought they were pretty respectful with it. But then at the end with the son, it's kind of like, and it's all okay. And you know, like Chadwick died, but it's all okay because T'Challa number two is here. T'Challa never left. T'Challa's been here the whole time.
It felt weird. I didn't get that feeling too bad.
Okay, all right. I mean,
to me, it was just like such a movie thing. I was like, yep, his son.
Yeah, I don't know. I think because it was directly related to a real person dying, it felt kind of awkward and weird, but maybe it's just me.
Burn the clothes. Did you guys notice that? Like, it was super windy, and the clothes don't weigh that much. So I was like, "You can't throw that on that fire. That's gonna blow right off." And then she kind of tosses it weirdly, and then there's a cut to it being on the fire. Like, they knew it actually didn't work, and they had to kind of fake it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looked weird.
I didn't notice that.
We kind of have to ask this every time there's a big MCU thing. Is the MCU? Do you guys care anymore, or is it like?
I mean, Andor was good, so I'm back.
Andor?
Just joking. I'm surprised they went as ambitious and big with this movie as they did. Do I care about this phase? Definitely don't care
this
about Black Panther franchise.
This is the end of Phase 4. This was the last Phase 4.
This was the last one.
How many movies are even in Phase 4? Oh. Three?
No. Wait, what about Quantumania?
That's the next phase. Because that's like Kang is
that's Ant-Man?
Full in. Yeah, that's new.
Oh, it's Phase 5 once Kang the Conqueror is there he's the big bad guy.
That's the guy from Loki?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm excited about that. I didn't like Ant-Man 1 or 2. 1 was fine. 2 was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
The new one looks awesome. I'm pretty excited.
This looks kind of cool. I mean, I do like when Marvel goes weird with it. They're like, we're just going to, you know what? We're going to go down to the quantum realm and we're just going to have some like crazy mind bending stuff. Mind bending is what comics are for.
Phase 5 is going to be good.
Wait, no. Tell me.
So new Ant-Man. So Quantumania looks pretty cool. Guardians of the Galaxy, pretty excited about. The Marvels, okay. New Captain America, New World Order. That could be intense. Thunderbolts, I don't know enough about, but then Blade.
Oh yeah, Blade
we're
is
back,
gonna be sweet.
Baby.
Who's funny. Directing Blade again?
I'm not sure, but it's Mahershala Ali.
Thunderbolts is it's the characters from the Black Widow. It's got Florence Pugh and Stranger Things dad.
Winter Soldier too.
It's got Winter. It's got the Bucky, I believe.
Nice. I like Bucky. I want more Bucky.
I want more.
I like Yelena.
Yeah.
Yelena's cool. I don't know. I mean, I feel. I obviously am not as into it as I was. In the Thanos era, but I feel like. It's kind of, this is what the MCU is going
to
be now.
Is this supposed to be the big one for this phase? Is Wakanda Forever the Infinity War of this phase?
No. I think like there is no Infinity War in this phase. It's like a phase one and two. Like,
I think
phase,
there's going to be Avengers.
But
movies.
I think in phase, it'll be at the end of phase five.
So there's no X-Men in this whole thing?
No, it doesn't seem like in phase five. There might be in the TV shows because there is TV shows that are happening. Because that's just the movies.
Yeah, I'm confused about how they do the phases. But regardless, there's going to be an Avengers movie to take down Kang.
Oh, yeah, Ironheart show.
Kang is the new Thanos, so we're probably going to have an Avengers Infinity War, but with Kang.
I hope so. I hope they do a good job building it up. Because even Thanos, I feel like I didn't care about the MCU till right about Infinity War, when it all kind of comes together. And you're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, it all is connected. Because before that, there's so many shitty movies.
Yeah, I felt like that too. My friend was big into Marvel comics, and I was always more of a DC guy.
Sure.
But so he was super into all the Marvel movies, and he was tracking the progress of the overall plot and blah blah blah. And so as we were getting closer and closer to Infinity War, he was getting stoked and stoked. And I really only kind of picked up on that on the last movie or two.
Yeah.
And then I was once Infinity War dropped, I was okay. Here we go. This is the new Star Wars type situation. So I don't think we're ever going to be back get back there. I think that this phase 3 is going to be
phased out.
Is going to be peak. Their original trilogy, and now we're having all the other stuff kind of after.
Also known as the afterbirth.
Yeah, basically.
I don't think it'll ever be totally prequel or sequel level bad. I think it'll just...
No.
It'll never reach that first level of novelty. Because yeah, it was so novel.
They don't have a George Lucas to make that happen.
Oh, Lord.
I read the comments and they warmed my heart. It was so cool to see someone say, yeah, me and my friends loved this movie and we are all going, we used to quote it all the time. Wee wee woo. And yeah, I was like, oh, that's awesome. We were both children.
We're children.
And this one in particular had me laughing out loud at my desk. When my kids started eating solid food, I would constantly say, open the mouth.
That's really funny.
Wait, I never even read this part of this comment. This video has earned this channel a sub for sure.
Like,
this one got him. This
That's hilarious. Oh my goodness.
Wait, I don't even know what this comment is about. The top comment by Irreverent Rex says, at 27 minutes, there's something really funny about Riley not paying attention and readdressing a joke that's about the main character not paying attention.
Yeah, it's because me and David had already discussed the joke where the woman, what's her name, Ling, gives a lot of information. He goes, I'm sorry. And then she has to repeat it all. And then you
I did that
introduced,
about something.
You introduced that joke after we already talked about that joke.
Oh,
it's kind of meta.
Wow. There's levels to it. Turns out I did that on purpose. And I didn't even know.
I got everything but the last part.
I didn't like it. Yeah, I mean, do we have a horrible... Oh, should we address the
frustrating
big R in the room?
There's a guy who keeps calling out David in a bunch of videos about how David pronounces the word frustrating.
He's done this on multiple videos?
Yeah, this isn't the first time I've seen
That's why
comment.
David's so frustrated about it.
Frustrated.
I didn't even notice this.
I don't say frustrated.
So
I say
it turns
like
out...
I don't say frustrated. I just go like frustrated.
David can say the word frustrated.
Frustrated. I say frustrated.
But sometimes he just...
It's frustrated.
Like, You contend that you say the R, but it's very quiet.
Yeah. Am I supposed to accentuate it? What language do you speak?
And with the time that he's saved...
Frustrated.
For your information, with the time that he saved from reducing the time that it takes to say the word, he's accomplished so
I'll
much.
Be president in 20 years.
How do you say... Can you say flustered?
Flustered.
Hmm.
I say flustered.
He doesn't skip the L. Yeah, you say flustered. I've heard that. Yeah. No. Anyways, okay, it's been addressed. Stop saying it now.
Yeah, stop calling it out. It's like people say words sometimes.
No one ever thumbed up or liked your comment, so you felt the need to
time.
Say it again and again. But okay, you've been acknowledged. We love you.
Great.
Now right. It's a thing. Well, I guarantee the next 5-star review is going to be
all about
acknowledging this.
Yeah.
You guys have any more fan services?
No, I didn't find any.
Not in particular.
Now playing.
James, did you say that you've watched some Andor?
No. But I will say this.
Come on!
I've heard enough good things, mostly from you, but others as well, that this is the best thing Star Wars has done in a long time, and I think I'll watch it someday.
I have no one to talk to about it.
I am planning on watching it, but God of War has taken up my life.
Yeah.
So. Tell us about that.
It's perfect in every single way.
What are you playing it on?
PS5. It's only available on PlayStation consoles currently. It'll be in PC probably in like a year or two, like it took for the other one. I won't do any spoilers, so don't worry about that. But they just did everything better, tighter. Every system that was you liked in the last one is back and better, and there's more development to it. The story is fucking phenomenal.
Do they add any gimmicks? Like in this one, there's this new targeting system that allows you to kill multiple people.
No, not really. It's my one complaint with the 2018 one and this one is that it takes a little while to get enough tools to make combat like interesting. For a while, like, you know, you only have like 3-4 moves that you're doing over and over. And then where I am in the game now, I'm about 23 hours in. Like every fight is like a fucking miracle. It's so fun. It's so rewarding, so challenging. And you have so many tools at your disposal.
You're in the microscope now.
Yeah, I know. I misspeak all the time. I'm surprised people haven't zeroed in on other things too. I want to finish the game before I spoil it, but I can't believe how much they made the game better. And 2018 is like a perfect game, and this is like
more perfect.
It's more perfect, and it's huge, and I can't believe the amount of fucking content in this game. Mm. And there's no like games that are this big. It's a big game. It's going to be about 30 hours, just main story, that are that big. Usually you have like, you know, a lot of filler and a lot of like B tier content. This is like all S tier. Like, everything that happens in this game is so interesting. It's these big moments, these big twists, these huge character, like, growth moments, and it's just nonstop good.
Wait for the
content.
Season 8.
Heck yeah.
Wait for the shitty ending.
Well, and I what I'm excited about is that this is the end of this arc. So, like, they've done the two Norse mythologies, and they've said, like, yeah, we're not going to do any more Norse mythology after this one.
Wait, there's multiple? What do you mean?
Well, no, like, 2018 is Norse, and then this is the end of the Norse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Because they did the two Norse mythologies. I'm like, what's the second one?
No. and so it's exciting because even now, apparently I'm about 3/4 through the game. There's still so much left to resolve, and apparently it all gets resolved. It's all, like, brought tight together. Nice. And I feel like it's a game that constantly keeps me guessing where I don't know where it's going to go, and it's so satisfying. Every story beat, it's fucking phenomenal. I'm so happy.
I recently beat God of War, the first one, on PC, having not had a PlayStation and no chance to play it. Loved it.
So
good. We talked about it on the podcast. I've heard some people say that they are kind of disappointed by the amount of, like, boring parts of the game.
There's been two 30-minute segments where I'm like, it should have been 5 minutes.
Right.
Where, like, you're walking and talking with the character, doing a few things, and it's, like, beautiful and, like, it's great, but it's, like, the novelty of what you're doing wears off a little too quick.
Mm.
I haven't found too many outside of the two specific things that I'm thinking of where I'm like, huh. But I will say that there's definitely, like, parts that, like, the pacing is, like, intense, and then we kind of get breathers and we get intense, and I think it does a really good job keeping you at the edge of your seat and then giving you a moment to think about what happened. And I didn't find that I was bored other than the two times.
Mm.
Okay. But, I mean, like, in a 30-hour experience, twice isn't too bad.
I hope they bring it to PC sooner rather than later.
Same. I really
want
everyone
to be
able to play it.
Dang,
absolutely,
dude.
Fantastic.
I finished watching Dahmer.
Oh.
And I would like to speak to the criticism that it's bad for society and unethical to watch.
You're bad.
Because I think, which is a contention you guys both hold, I think, broadly. A
little bit.
I think that, I'm not going to say that is not a factor with this show, but I will say that it seems like the filmmakers have done just about everything they can to not have that be a thing in terms of, to the point where it's almost like filler. There was like a 40 minutes of an hour episode that was just building up this one character who, you know, is a victim, but just showing his family life and, you know, just the world through his eyes. There's just so much space in this series for the victim's point of view and the fallout and stuff like that. And then there's also a lot of, like, just not glorifying it. Even when they portray how he had, like, Dahmer had fans in jail, it's kind of portrayed as, like, sick. Mm-hmm. It's gross. So I think they just, like, they really tried to be savory, I guess is the word I want to use.
Savory? Not unsavory?
Unsavory.
Like, tasteful?
Yeah. Yes, I guess. Like, delicate.
Careful, yeah.
Delicate, yeah. Respectful. They really make an emphasis about how, like, one of the final things, you know, when a show like this ends, there's always going to be some text on screen.
Yeah.
One of the final things that they highlight, expound upon, is that, like, the site of his apartment building where a lot of this went down was never made into a memorial park like they planned, stuff like that. So I think that they really tried to be respectful.
And they even put text at the end that said, do not do this,
do not attempt at home. Yeah.
I mean, there's enough in the show to show that it's repugnant behavior, even from other prisoners, like, who, you know, the way he's treated in prison, he's just, like, baffled.
I think that
everyone thinks he's a creep.
No. I think that all works in favor of your argument that, like, it's probably not that dangerous for society. And I would even say that I acknowledge it's not that dangerous for society, but I would say that the danger, if it exists, is probably just by the show itself existing, like, by the fact that we found this person's life and actions so notable that we are going to highlight them and dwell on them for a long time. Well, instead of being like, fuck this guy, don't even give him or anyone the satisfaction of repeating his name.
Which is why I concede the point that it doesn't, like, fully address the claim, but I feel like once they made the decision to make the piece, this is how they should make it the piece.
Right. And, you know, I think that there's definitely room there for like psychoanalysis and for like reflecting on like what are the conditions that can lead people to do this kind of thing, and you know, so that we can prevent it from happening in the future. I think that there is space for that. It's just you know, maybe there's no easy answer.
Well, they want to make sequel series with different murders.
Yeah, I don't know whether the better option is to make like a documentary, because I feel like a lot of true crime is pretty cringe, but or to make this sort of like a more generally accessible, you know,
the problem
entertaining
is you
drama
never know how much, which aspects of it are real. You never like, is that on record? Someone say that? Or is that like what they think they piece together? Or is it completely made up? I don't know.
That's part of the issue, I think, for me.
Yeah, I like dramatizations of historical events, but it sucks. You can't trust anything that happens. Usually it's like your favorite things that happen in the movie. You're like, oh, that didn't happen.
Yeah, you have to like, every time something happens in the show and you're like, whoa. You have to look up to be like, should I say whoa?
Like, did his parents really walk directly out of the courtroom and in the halls of the courthouse have an argument about who's responsible for their son doing this? Like, did they have that dramatic blowout right there in front of everybody?
Yeah.
Did that happen? I'm sure they had arguments about it, but, you know, in that way, because that's damn good television, you know? Anyway.
Speaking of serial killers, I watched Black Phone on this weekend.
Okay.
What is
with this streak of like kind of?
Oh, Zoe loves horror movies, so it's like it's a thing to bond over.
But like specifically lower prestige horror movies.
How dare you? There's no such thing as high horror.
She hates
Smile and Black Phone. I'd say we can say are like lower prestige than like Hereditary.
Well, it's just that she hates Hereditary.
Oh, me too. Hey,
yeah, I'm gonna convince her.
Tell her she's right.
I'm trying to convince her. I don't hate her, but
I hate it.
There's an episode for that. Y'all watch it.
Black Phone is definitely better than Smile. It's pretty interesting. It's like, you know, 70s. Spoilers. We'll talk spoilers. You guys don't care about Black Phone. You guys just skip ahead.
Spoilers for Black Phone.
It's basically like 70s man steal, like kidnaps boys and kills them. And so the main character is like the latest victim gets kidnapped. And the Black Phone is this phone he has like in his little dungeon basement thing. And it allows him, as it's revealed, to speak to like the dead boys. And so they can kind of give him advice. So it's not supernatural, but then there's like a little bit of a paranormal thing that happens. And so
it's not supernatural
at the beginning. So you don't really know. But then like his sister can kind of like, you know, gets dreams and visions and stuff. But it's not really presented like a weird paranormal movie. It's just kind of like he can talk to the kids on the
phone.
You
know, it's my dead boy phone.
But it's not. But it's interesting and it's creepy.
You guys don't have one of those?
Nah, like when like the first time you kind of know who he's talking to, the camera like rotates and then there's just like a dead boy standing there. He can't see it, but the audience is now like understands. Oh, it's the dead. Yeah, it's the previous dead boy.
That's a good choice.
And so it does all this stuff where he's trying to escape.
I'm the dead boy in this place. All right, you're just the new meat.
But it does all the satisfying beats. Of like, you know, making you hate the villain, like the police getting close, but they're frustrating. His sister is the best new actor, and she's gonna be a fucking star.
Oh wow,
I don't know her name. She's fucking awesome.
Dakota Fanning.
No, Dakota's like 75 now, dude.
75. She's probably like 28.
But it's it ends exactly how I wanted it to end, where you think that the police are going to save him because of his sister's visions, but he has to get himself out. And the way he beats him is awesome. I love ingenuity.
Is it her?
I think so.
Gwen Shaw?
Madeline McGraw, you mean?
That's a character's name. Or is it?
That's the actor's name.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Madeline, I think that's McGraw. Her.
Ethan Hawke is the guy?
Yeah. And it's he's not really well developed. I don't really know what the masks were for. It's like a metaphor. There's like a metaphor in there for like abusive father, because the kid's dad is like an alcoholic abuser. And like there's a scene that's fucking hard to watch where he's like whooping on the girl with a belt. Like not like, you know, implied. It's like he's whooping on her and she's screaming and crying and it's awful. And the son comes in and is just like glaring. You've never seen a kid be more angry. So the acting is excellent from those kids. But movie's pretty good. Emotionally satisfying. It's not a hard watch. It's not like the kind of horror where it's like,
except for that scene.
Well, that scene, yes, for sure, was really hard. But it's like there's not a bunch of violence and like jump scares. It's more just like kid's been kidnapped. Like, is he gonna get out? And it's interesting, and it's not super important. And if you like that kind of movie, it's worth watching. But if you're like, do I need to see this? No, you don't need to see it.
Okay.
6.5 out of 10.
I've been watching, I watched a couple of What If episodes because I was trying to catch up before the Black Panther. There's a What If with
catch up
Black
to watch Andor.
Where T'Challa is, it's What If T'Challa was Star-Lord.
Right.
So instead of Peter Quill getting abducted as T'Challa, it was a sweet episode. What If is awesome. Everyone should watch it if you're into Marvel stuff.
I think I watched all of it.
It's titillating.
It's cool. It's
but
cool.
Like, I watched a couple episodes and I was like, okay, these are like little vignettes and they don't really connect. So okay, whatever. Maybe I'll put them on sometime. But then I realized that they do connect. And so then I was like, all right, I think I put it on while like I was like playing with my kid or something. And when he was having a meltdown, I was just like, okay, I'm going
to
put something
on. It's cool just to see them, all the characters, you know, it's like eating a food with like the ingredients aren't, they're in the wrong places or something. It's like when you figure out like, whoa, peanut butter banana is good on a sandwich. Like that's nuts.
Yeah.
So it's just cool to see these characters like, well, you're normally a bad guy, but now you're a good guy. Or they're interacting. Cool. You never get to see these characters cross paths.
I wish it had a different animation style. I think that might be my biggest gripe with
it. Oh, I like it.
I think so too.
I find I have a hard time like engaging. I
agree with you, David. The animation style is probably the biggest thing making me feel kind of about it.
Because you're right. Theoretically, like the episode ideas are really cool. Yeah. You know,
like, if they had animation like Arcane, but everything else was the same, I'd probably like it a lot better.
Or even if it was
it's
just
not
like
that full... different. It's so different.
Okay. Well, I don't watch a lot of cartoons. I'm sorry.
I'm an adult, so
I thought it looked good, and then you can tell like which actor they're trying to portray. Like it has that that degree of realism and detail.
I can't remember. Do you guys watch the Cyberpunk anime?
No,
I haven't watched it yet.
The Video Game Awards now have a Best Video Game Adaptation Award. And there's like, you know, Sonic 2 and Cuphead.
Yeah, I've heard that Edgerunners is really good.
Edgerunners and Arcane are the two that are head-to-head. It'll be interesting. I feel like more people like Arcane more, but I much preferred the Cyberpunk one. I didn't love Arcane. It was good.
I've been meaning to watch it. But
everyone's
going to
yell at me
in
the comments.
Why?
I said it's not that different from Arcane. Okay, like Arcane, I remember watching Arcane and being like, the animation's sick.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's better.
The Arcane's animation is like next level for TV animated stuff.
Well, and there's like an identity to its animation where you're like, that's Arcane.
It's like super distinctive. It's super punchy and satisfying and it inspires awe. Yeah, it's very artful. Really cool. I think that the Marvel animation style seems like they're like, okay, what's a quick... We basically took some 3D models and maybe like made it like a cel shaded thing and did like a little bit of mocap, but not really. And like everything kind of is like flat texture and there's not really.
Yeah, it feels very medium budget.
Yeah, it feels like cheap video game cutscenes.
All right, you're aficionado here.
I mean, I am a voice actor for animation. That has nothing to do with
it. No, it doesn't.
But I watch cartoons sometimes.
Love cartoons.
All right, guys, you got to wrap this up.
All right.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
I gotta pee so bad.
You could
next
I could,
week.
I could sit here for a while.
You got a huge bladder. You got the extra compartment.
Well, next this week, me, you guys, like 2 weeks ago.
We're gonna just be like, you know what you should do? Cut that toxic person out of your life. That's what we're gonna say, stuff like that, because you are gonna mail us your questions about your problems, and us with our combined 95 years of wisdom.
we need catchphrases. You know, like that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, yeah. Cut it out. Yeah.
And that's the T.
Hey, we did it. We came up with three.
Yeah, there you go.
We came up
with
them.
I stole mine from
Freddy
Rowe.
They're literally all stolen. All right,
so give us the T on your personal life.
Someone DM'd us on Twitter. Your problem came right to my phone. I was talking to Linus. I was like, oh, I can see your problem. So that's one. At TJM Pod. You can also email us.
I feel like you're not making it that attractive.
Put mailbag in the title, in the subject line when you email us.
That's a good idea.
Hello at theyrejustmovies.com. Also, we're going to keep it anonymous. Don't worry.
Yeah, of course. Is the actual angle that we're helping people solve their problems? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I'm giving legit advice. I'm going to try my best.
Is Sarah
going to
be here too?
We hope Sarah will be here too.
We'll also bring some of our problems maybe.
Sure.
If you want. I don't need people to know that.
But then it's not anonymous.
You have problems? I don't have problems.
Yeah. No, I don't have any problems.
Yeah, so next time... So next time a TechLink fan stops me in the Cineplex bathroom, they can be like, hey, how's that thing with your mom?
Never should have said it. They run
Thanks,
out crying.
Man. Ruined my night. Yeah. But shout out to that guy.
Thanks for watching.
Said hi. He waited till I was washing my hands.
That's oh, really?
Nice. Yeah.
You
don't want to be at the... You don't want to have your cock in hand.
Yeah. In Wakanda Forever, I was taking notes, and the person next to me was like...
Quit it, you loser.
No. He was like, hey, I noticed you taking notes for the movie. Are you like in a podcast or something? Or are you like a movie guy or critic or something? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in a movie podcast. There aren't enough of those. But he didn't recognize me or anything. He was just like, what's your movie podcast? I'm like, this is so weird.
Yep.
Don't make me say the name.
I'm talking to someone about the media stuff that I create, but they don't know about LMG. It was weird.
That's weird.
That's most people on this planet.
Yeah. I just thought that everyone watches this. Okay.
He does now. Hi, new guy, new sub.
I told him the name of it, and then he didn't say anything. I'm like, you don't have to look it up.
No, please don't.
It's all good. All right.
Bye.
See you next week. Love you. James has to pee.
I'm peeing now.
Oh, no.